Welcome to the Elevation Church Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Aaron Peterson. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit elevationchurchwisconsin.com.
Good morning, church. I know we just prayed. We're going to pray again. It's church. It's okay. King Jesus, thank you for this time. Thank you for this season where you are forging us. Thank you, God, that you are building the weapons with which we advance. God, we thank you that you are pushing back the darkness and we get to partner with that. God, thank you that you waste nothing in our experience. So we love you, God. We just give this time to you. We give it over to you, Jesus. Would you move mightily in this place? Would you move mightily in this place? And it's in your name we cry out and we pray. Amen. We're primarily going to be in Joshua 3 and 4 this morning. Before we get rolling, I just wanted to take a really quick opportunity to bless some people in the room. So if you are a pastor, a leader, or you feel called as a forerunner, or Holy Spirit just says to stand up, would you stand up, please? There are people not standing that should be standing. Not going to point at anybody or name any names. I'll find you after church. So, in Joshua 3, there's this interesting thing that happens in Scripture where the Israelites are crossing the Jordan to go into the Promised Land as a people for the first time. And God, the directive that he gives is the priests have to go first into the water. And the Jordan is at flood stage. This is important because if you've seen the Jordan not at flood stage, it's like the Jordan crick. It's like the Israelites didn't have a word for crick. They didn't have a word for pond, so everything's either a lake or a sea, you know, that kind of a thing. Well, they were not going to be able to cross the Jordan, and these people are carrying the Ark of the Covenant. It's this box that contains the presence of God, and the rules are if you touch the box, you die. So they're carrying this box in this dangerous place, looking down the bank, and God said, well, go in the river, and when you step in the river, then I'll part the water. He doesn't say, get up to the edge, and then I'll stop the water from flowing. God tells the priests, the forerunners, the first to go in, step in the water, get your feet wet, and when you get your feet wet, then I'll hold the water back. So thank you to whoever's standing, and if you're online, you can stand up too. I won't see it, but God sees it. He's in your room with you. Thank you for being willing to step in the water. Thank you for being willing to take the risks. Thank you for being willing to go into the places that nobody else has gone and to be a part of raising up a highway for other people to cross. Thank you for that. This is for Pastor Appreciation Month, Clergy Appreciation Month, and just your awesome thank you guys for being willing to pay a price for the gospel. Amen? You can sit down unless you don't want to. You can stand the whole service too. You get extra honor that way. It is my belief that the character that is so important to you walking out the life of a Christian and the weapons that we use as we push back the darkness and clear the land are powerfully forged when you're in that place that Ryan talked about last week where the army's behind you and the sea is in front of you and either God shows up or we're sunk. I believe that's when our character is forged. I believe that's when the weapons that God calls us to wield are forged. I believe that that's when your call and your anointing and your destiny are often found. In that place of a rock and a hard place, in that place of I'm hemmed in on all sides and it's either God or it's nothing, that is when the forging happens inside of us. And we nod our heads and we like that message until we're in that message. We enjoy the message until we're in that message. And the Israelites walked through this over and over and over again. It's a theme that we see over and over and over again in Scripture. And I landed on Joshua because there's an important lesson for us to learn in Joshua. Okay? So again, the Israelites are crossing the Jordan River for the first time. If you guys want to read Joshua 3 and 4, you'll find it all there. I'll probably paraphrase, so we'll just bounce through this scripture. But essentially, the whole people are going into the promised land to take the promised land for the first time. And the trouble is there's a river that's at flood stage. So there's a hard thing in front of them that they are not going to be able to just outmaneuver and get around. This is a word for somebody in the room. Quit trying to outmaneuver it. The only way you're going to get through is to go right through the gut of it. Okay? Avoidance is not Christianity. Avoidance is not a fruit of the Spirit. There's nothing wrong with being joyful as long as joyful isn't a mask for your life falling apart in the background. Amen? It's like the most tentative amen in history. Amen, I guess. So the priests go to the center of the river, and this is really significant. You guys know how far back God pushes the water? If you're in first service, it's cheating. The water gets pushed back all the way to a certain city. You know what the name of the city the water is pushed back to is? Adam. The name of the city that the water is pushed back to is Adam. So the forerunners step into the water carrying the presence, and God doesn't just halt the water 10 feet away. He pushes it all the way back to Adam. There's something to be extrapolated there. I'll just leave you guys to figure out what that part is. The whole of Israel passes through. They've got 40,000 warriors. They have all their people, all their logistics, anything that they're bringing with them to go fight this battle passes through the river. So they get to the other side, and they're done. And they're done. And Joshua's getting ready. Okay, we made it across. Now we got to make camp. Now we got to go to war. Now we have to do the really important stuff. We conquered the thing that needed to be conquered. We got our breakthrough. Now we get to go forward. And God speaks to Joshua and he says, stop. So Joshua's like, but we won. What do you mean stop? We won. What? And God says, go back to the river. The insurmountable thing that we just went through, God says, go back. And God doesn't just say, go back. He says, pick 12 guys from the tribes and go back to the river. Why? God says, have each of those 12 guys grab a stone out of the river. And he doesn't say like a little stone. The scripture is really clear. He says, grab a stone and have them carry it on their shoulder. Grab a heavy thing out of the river and put it on your shoulder, and we're going to bring it to camp with us. So they do it. So they go into the river, and each one of the guys grabs a heavy stone, puts it on their shoulder, and they bring it back to camp. Because this is the thing that they're going to carry with them that reminds them of the thing that God did. I believe wholeheartedly that there are those of us that need breakthrough, and that there are those of us that need to go back to the hard places, that need to go back to the river to sort out getting healed of the things that are there. But I'm going to offer this caveat. I think that for every one person that really needs to get healed, and that's why they're circling around that thing again, there are two or more that God is saying, but I hid your weapon in that dark place. But I hid your weapon in that river. But I hid your call and your anointing and your destiny in that river. And you're running away from it because you think I want you to experience the pain again, when what God is saying is you have something heavy to carry with you that you bought and paid for and won when you walked through that trial, and you're avoiding it because you don't want to experience the pain again. Anybody with me? Your call in the advance of the kingdom is often hidden in that dark place that you overcame that you don't want to go back to. Your call is often hidden there. And we have a culture that is so focused on, I don't want pain, and I don't want to be uncomfortable, and I don't want to experience any of these things, that our gospel has actually become like, come to Jesus for a better life. It's like an upgrade. Like, it'll be great. It'll be neat. There's great things about kingdom. God also will bring you to the place where the Red Sea is in front of you, and the war is behind you. And he's asking you to have faith and partner in him moving. An example of this in my own life, and it's not really my own life, but it's watching my wife walk through her life. Anybody that knows Callie knows that Callie has a mother's heart, that she has been a mother to many, that if there's a situation that motherlessness is the thing that's growing there, you just put Callie in there. It's like, oh, that's a Callie situation. And it just pops the bubble of that thing because she carries that mother's heart thing so freaking scarily well. Callie's mom had schizophrenia, bipolar, manic depressive, all that stuff going on when she was a kid. It was a miracle that Callie survived to adulthood in the house that she grew up in. Callie never had a mom. And she had to walk across that river of never having a mom. And the heavy thing that she got to carry with her is the call that says motherlessness doesn't get to be here. That I had to live without a mom. Nobody around me has to live that way ever again. Because it's the heavy thing that she carries with her having gone through the river. Does that make sense? You're getting it now a little bit better, maybe? Our avoidance cuts us off from the call. Our unwillingness to look at the stuff that God has not allowed, not set up for us. He redeems things so well, you'd think he'd caused them in the first place. That kind of thinking is not going to live here. But the stuff that we have survived and that we've walked through with him will become part of your call if you let it. Who better to break motherlessness than the person that didn't have a mom and had that thing healed of God? Who better to break addiction than the one that was addicted and was miraculously set free by our God? Who better? Who better qualified than the one that's actually put their feet on the riverbed and felt the water leave as they stepped into it? Who better? Who better? Who better? So that's the heavy thing that we carry with us. I'm telling you, there are calls of God that exist in this place, in this room, and for you guys even watching online, there are calls of God that you've been waiting on God going, what do you want me to do? God, what do you want me to do? God, what's my destiny? God, what's the call that's on my life? And God is going, if you won't look back at that dark place that you walked through, you're never going to know. If you don't look back at the thing that I had you lift that was heavier than the people around you could lift, you're not going to know what that call is. So that's bringing the stones with us. That's the forging that happens in us. But the next thing that God tells Joshua to do is like, it's almost more ridiculous to me. Because they bring the stones to the camp. They have these stones that the literal word that God gives them is, when your kids ask about it, you can tell them these stones are a reminder of what God did. Powerful generational stuff, right? Joshua goes back to where the priests are still standing in the river, and I'm assuming he heard God, and Joshua builds an altar there too. The scripture says he takes 12 more stones and he stacks them up right there in the middle of the river. Well, we already won this battle. Why? When the river is at flood stage, we're not going to be able to see the stones that are even in the river. Why? Are you so foolish to think that you're never going to see that river again? Are you so foolish to think you're never going to see that river again? If you walk through a hard thing, have you come to a place really genuinely where you think you're never going to have to come face to face with maybe that same hard thing again? Rejection is a really good example of this. It's the one I used in the first service. So you're rejected as a child and you partner with rejection, and then you're rejected as an older child, and then as a teenager, and then as an adult you deal with rejection, and it's something that circles around you over and over and over again to the point where you feel like you're caught in a spiral of rejection for your whole life. So you put up huge, gigantic barriers. I'll reject you first so you can't reject me. Like, what if the answer is not that you have to figure out how to be less rejectable, like it's the word of the Lord, I have to wear deodorant, like this is... What if the answer is that you face that thing and you leave a monument there? Like, what if the answer is you face that hard, ugly thing, and part of your process is you go, I'm leaving a stack of rocks here. Because that stack of rocks exists for a purpose. In Samuel, they actually name the stone that they leave. There's this epic moment in Samuel's life where they're like at prayer and the enemy attacks. And the warriors are like putting their pants on, trying to get ready for battle while the enemy is attacking because nobody's ready for it. And Samuel just hears God say, you're going to have victory. So as they're like trying to go fight the fight, half naked, essentially, God just roars from the heavens and routs the enemy, and the enemy runs. So they name the rock. They don't just build a stone stack. They actually name the rock. You know what they name the rock? They call it Ebenezer. The city is named after the rock that's in the area. It's Ebenezer. You know what Ebenezer means? Thus far, God has helped us. What if we face that ugly circumstance, we face that rejection, we face that you name it, and our heart posture is, I'm going to leave a stone here. And next time I see it, the thing that I'm going to force myself to focus on is, God helped us so far. So far, God has shown up. The last time I walked through this situation, God showed up. What if that becomes our focus instead of how sick we are of having to be the person that gets their feet wet stepping in the river? What if that becomes the focus? What if I don't get paid for 2 weeks and the car breaks down and all the lights go off at once telling the car saying, help me, I'm dying. And now it won't go vroom vroom when I push the pedal. And instead of panicking and going into a spiral and trying to figure out how much space I have left on my credit card, what if our heart posture becomes, you know, last time God showed up. What if our focus, remember, we teach in this house all the time, what you focus on, you reproduce. What if the focus becomes that stack of rocks that we made in the river last time we crossed this river saying, he's helped us so far. What if that's the thing that we're willing to do? What if that's the thing that we're willing to focus on? God does miracles all the time. God shows up when these things happen all the time. He did it before, he'll do it again. What if we're willing to apply this to every situation that we walk out in our lives? What if our heart posture shifts from being reactionary to the things that are happening around us, good, bad, and indifferent, to just standing on the fact that so far God's been really good to me? And I have no reason to believe that the immutable God, the God that doesn't change, is going to change the fact that he's for me and he's really good to me. What if we could land there? What if we could land there instead of having to go around the mountain and go through the cycle again and again and again? What if every time we walk around that rejection thing, we have a stone in the middle of that river that reminds us, last time God parted the water, when I touched it, this time I can touch it again. You hearing me, church? You guys alive out there? Haven't had time for jokes this morning, I'm sorry. What I am saying is that it is in those moments where you have to be the one to put your foot in the water, where you have to be the one that steps into the thing that's in front of you, that God forges his call on your life. And that the places that you are set free, you are commissioned to set others free in those same areas. You are commissioned, called, appointed, anointed, equipped through the crossing of the river. You are equipped through the bringing the heavy thing with you. You are equipped through erecting the monument in the middle of the ugly thing that you're walking through to be the one that sets other people free that have walked through the same things. And if you're honest with yourself, you will find yourself going, why do I keep having people drawn to me that struggle with the same stuff that I struggled with 10 years ago? Be honest with yourself. You see it, don't you? You see it, don't you? You ever minister to someone and inside somewhere you're like, you remind me of me when I was younger? It's because they are you when you were younger. Because they saw someone that erected a monument in the same ugly that they're going through, and God pulled them to you because hidden in you through your experience is the key to their breakthrough. So I'm not inviting you to navel gaze. I'm not inviting you to go back and relive the ugly experiences that you've had. I'm inviting you to say, what have I survived and thrived through and walked through that would burn other people to a crisp that may actually be the hidden place of my call and my destiny? That's what I'm saying. What is the crazy thing that I walked through in my life that has given me a strength that other people don't have to carry a weight on my shoulder that other people can't carry, that's actually my call and my destiny in disguise? There is a redemption of even the hard places that will make your head spin when you step into it. And I need you to know the gravity. I need you to know how big this whole thing is. In the garden, Adam and Eve. Remember, the water is pushed all the way back to Adam. In the garden with Adam and Eve. You ever read what the serpent's argument was? You ever read what it was? Like, he didn't need a whiteboard to convince Adam and Eve. There was no quantum physics involved. Like, he was like worse than a sleazy used car salesman, and I'm not saying used car salesmen are bad, I'm saying that he was worse than the stereotypical used car salesman. All he had to say to Adam and Eve to get them to make a stupid choice was, I mean, but did God really? Like, yeah, but did he though? Like, that was the whole argument. That was what caused the fall of humanity. The silver-tongued lying serpent. I mean, but did he? Did he say that though? And there's a whole theological tradition that's been frameworked and built around this that says the enemy was capitalizing on the childlikeness of Adam and Eve. Were you born yesterday? Like, kind of? I mean, yeah, kind of, right? Kind of? So how big is God's redemptive purpose in your pain and in the ugly stuff that you've walked through? What did Jesus say was the only access point to the kingdom? Jesus said you have to become like a little child or you can't even see it. Or you can't even see it. We're talking about a God who enters into the thing of the fall and so redeems that it becomes the open door for us to walk into the kingdom. What is he going to do with your Jordan Rivers? What is he going to do with you who are willing to put the stone on your shoulder and carry it with you? What is he going to do with you that are willing to put a monument in the water in the place that it happened so that the next time you see it or when you see it in somebody else, you can speak out, God has helped us so far. Come on, church. I'd be my own amen section up here. It's cool. It's cool. So that's my challenge for you today. And I'm going to pray in just a second, and then we're going to have the altar ministry team come forward. But my challenge for you is that for some of you, you've been avoiding revisiting that river. You've been avoiding going to that place out of fear that you're not over it or fear that you're not healed of it. And I'm saying that for some of you, it has not been the enemy trying to trick you into going back there. It has been God saying, I hid something there for you. And I need you to stop and go back to pick up that heavy thing that I've called you to carry. So Holy Spirit, we invite you. We invite you to bring to remembrance right now, supernaturally, the places that we have ran from the anointing and from the glory out of fear of the process that brought us there. God, I just release a grace across this room for us to go back to the river and pick up those heavy things, God. that there would be a grace, even for those watching online today, God, there would be a grace that would just fall and permeate us, God, that we could look back and go back to those places where maybe we abandoned glorious tools and weapons for the advancement of the kingdom because we were unwilling to go back to the edge of the river. God, that grace would fall, that grace would fall in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Now, if the altar ministry team could mobilize, I want to do our after-service prayer a little bit differently today. Every person that's on this team is carrying heavy things. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean they've gone back into the river and they've picked up the rocks and they've picked up the things that they're supposed to carry. If you want prayer this morning, or if you're feeling called to it, ask God to highlight one of these people to come pray for you. Do not tell them what you want. What I'm doing is I'm trusting that they're going to release over you the thing that they picked up in the river. They're going to release over you the heavy thing that they learned by trusting God and being the first one to step into the water. I'm trusting that that's actually what you need, whether you know you need it or not. So I just want to challenge you with that. If you want prayer, walk out this process with us. And then Pastor Ryan had brought up a few words earlier. One of them was the end of Chris's testimony that he gave was that debt was paid off. That it was not just a season of abundance, that debt ended up paying off. And one of the words that Ryan had for me was that he felt like there's something about grabbing supernatural debt cancellation in the air in the room. So we don't go after that real often. It's because it feels weird to do it in church, like, and God's giving away. You get a car and you get a car. Like, we're... This is what the TV people warned you about. But I think there's really something in the air when we grab onto those testimonies. And whether grabbing a hold of that testimony means your debt's canceled, awesome. If grabbing a hold of that testimony means the structure in you changes to actually be able to walk out financial wisdom in a way that your debt just falls off of you because you walk out the wisdom of it, awesome. But I just encourage you, if that's the place that you're in, grab that thing out of the air. Just grab that thing out of the air. God, I received that testimony. God, I want what you have for me when it comes to my finances. Whether you want me to be a millionaire or whether you want me to just not have a monthly credit card payment, I receive it, God. Was that the only thing? Come on, dude. And in 50 seconds, it will be time to pick up your children. Please do so in 1 minute. We will give them away.
Yeah.
We won't do that.
We won't do that.
We don't do that.
No.
Not anymore.
No. No, we won't do that. Here's what I heard. I heard during worship, I heard in the last 3 to 4 months, maybe 5 months, those of you who are newer to our environment, if you're here and you're newer to our environment in the last 3 to 4 to 5 months, and I heard that there are people, I think it was plural, but there's for sure one person, maybe even online too, that... you've had job opportunities, like you're in this place right now where you're seeking another, well, I say it like this, you're keeping your options open for another employment opportunity. Now, if you're an employee of Elevation Church, this does not apply to you. However, you are looking, you're seeking, you've been asking the Lord, and actually there's decisions that you're weighing out, and it may even be as specific as, I don't know which one, there's multiple opportunities. If that's you, I want you to stand up right now. I feel like there's somebody in this room that is weighing that out. There may be another person or two. Yeah, oh, no, so keep standing. Is there anyone? I won't take too much time. Okay, going once. Going twice. Okay, Dennis, sold. Here we go. Here's what I felt like the Lord said. I feel like the moment you stood up, one of them came to your mind, and it was more pronounced. And God is shaping that. And there's a piece when you begin to meditate on that. He's going to give you details of that as you take a step in faith. And so as you step into the river, more will be revealed. So I bless you with that wisdom of God over you. Is there someone else? to see you over here. I didn't see you. Amen. Father, I just pray right now, divine wisdom, revelation, insights to come. I pray for the right people being assigned to you to bring his wisdom and his counsel. I feel like also God is saying to you, in his word, there are stories that apply to your current situation. You even have permission to get on Google and look up stories that apply to your situation in the scripture, and God will reveal that to you, and hidden in that scripture is a key to unlock the wisdom that you need for this next assignment. In Jesus' name, I bless you. Amen.
Be sure to visit ElevationChurchWisconsin.com for other exciting new content from Elevation Church.